and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
How's your week?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Oh, yeah, it's been hot, isn't it?
Oh, boiling.
I mean, what was it, 35 the other day?
No, it was even hotter than that.
Was it?
Yeah, 37.8 at Heathrow.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know I hate the heat.
And I've got bad news for you, I'm afraid, because Mrs. Ben has been telling me that she's seen that we've got a 10-day heat wave for mid-30s next week.
Christ. I know some people love it, but I can't bear it. I can't sleep. I get tetchy. I just hate everything about the heat. I hate.
25, that's about fine. 35, you're taking the piss.
15.
Yeah.
Anything above 15 is too hot. I think I need to go and move to the Arctic Circle.
So are you doing all the tricks like, you know, your instincts say open all the windows?
Yeah.
That's terrible. You must draw the curtains, keep all the windows closed.
Well, I do that anyway. I don't.
Yeah,
I do. The outside world isn't anything I'm part of anymore. So, you have to open windows, though, don't you?
No, it lets the heat in.
Oh, it doesn't make any difference.
It does.
It doesn't make any difference. And I'm also having to, like, my main front room, which gets very hot because the sun beats down on that room. I'm having to have the door shut at the moment because I still haven't caught the mouse.
Is there still evidence of the mouse?
Well, I haven't seen it since we spoke last week. And the weird thing is I came down one morning and the trap had been triggered.
Ooh.
But no mouse.
Okay, so that's quite interesting. I wonder if the mouse was in the room with you as you were recording last week's podcast with me,
well,
and he overheard it.
Possibly.
And he thought, fuck this, I'm out of here.
God, as long as it's gone, I don't mind. What I'm worrying now is that it was somehow sort of mortally injured and has sloped off somewhere to die, and within days I'm going to get the smell of dead mouse. But as long as it's gone...
I prefer my thinking, because, you know, to me, that's one more listener.
Yeah. Which means we've doubled it. the other thing I hate about the hot weather is, you know, I can't stand noise.
Yes, of any kind.
And of any kind. And the older I get, the more sensitive I become to it and the less tolerant I become.
Okay.
And do you know one noise I'm really growing to hate?
Well, the obvious one for you is the legendary car horn is your
obviously
most biggest pet peeve.
I hate that.
Another noise. Give me a clue.
How can I describe it? It's a noise that goes right through you as an adult, but will bring joy to children.
Oh, I was going to say, is it babies crying? Because I know this might make me sound a bit heartless, but I cannot abide the sound of a baby crying. I just think, oh, shut up, will you?
Yeah.
Somebody put a cork in that thing.
Any ideas of fatherhood?
it's going to be some sort of TV theme tune?
No.
Kid show or something?
No. It's something outside.
The ice cream van.
The fucking ice cream van. Now, as a kid, that noise is an amazing thing, right? Not that we were ever really allowed to go out, but it's still an exciting noise. Now, the one that comes down my road seems to park near my house, and the fucking noise it makes, it's not a pleasant sound. Why in 2020 have we not developed a more pleasant sounding chime? They're distorted. It's this slightly horror film-esque chime that distorts, and it's so fucking loud and it's unpleasant. And
it's usually green sleeves, isn't it?
It's normally green sleeves. And I just think surely by now they would have created a better sound. I wouldn't mind if it wasn't distorting. I don't know whether that's my sound engineer coming out, but it's just the fact that it distorts. It's that horrible, I can't even describe it. I think the only way would be to play a clip.
I mean, that is terrible, isn't it?
It's just awful.
It reminds me of, naming no names, of course, various sound engineers we've had to work with in our radio days. You listen back to their finished product and you think, are you really okay with that? Can you not hear the problem there?
I know. I mean, I just think, surely by now they would have come up with better technology for an ice cream. I mean, it'd be better if there wasn't any noise at all, from my point of view, from an ice cream van. It'd be better now is if an ice cream van is coming down your road and you want to be alerted to it, you have an ice cream van app and it will alert you that it's in your road. So you don't have to disturb my fucking peace with your distorted fucking horrific chiming. Shut up!
Also, why is it Greensleeves All the Time? A song written, I believe, for Anne Boleyn. I mean, how many kids these days are appreciating that reference? And why is that linked to ice cream?
By the way, I think it's a myth that Henry VIII wrote that.
I didn't know Henry VIII wrote it. I thought it was written for her.
Oh, well, that might even be part of the myth. I don't know.
I don't know.
But yes, why? There are other ones. I mean, Whistle While You Work is another one. I think that's the one my one plays down my road. Whistle While You Work.
Oh, that's a particularly irritating piece of music.
but yes, just no. This is it, right? This is the new laws. Again, when I'm in charge, things will be so different. Ice cream vans were not allowed to have chimes. That will be outlawed. If you want to be aware that it's in your road, there will be an app. The Mr. Wappy is what we'll call it.
Very nice.
Mr. Wappy will ding on your phone or your tablet, and then you'll know that it's in your road. You can go out without disturbing me.
Right. Do you think that's a little bit extreme?
No, I don't.
Sort of 10 seconds of displeasure it
causes. It's not 10 seconds, though, is it? And the other thing, the one that parks near me, when it's parked up, it's still playing. I think as soon as it parks up, it should shut off. That should be it.
Okay. Well, I look forward to you enforcing that when you are our overlord.
The other thing about the hot weather is the face masks are becoming more and more intolerable, aren't they? I mean, I understand we've got to wear them. I'm not one of these people that's anti the face mask. I'm all for them. But they are getting hotter and hotter.
They are. And also, they've introduced new laws. They've come into the shops now. You need
to have to wear them in the shops, yeah.
Certain places you're all right, certain places you're not. We find ourselves in a very strange position where if you're popping into a takeaway for like 3 seconds to grab your food, face mask is mandatory.
Yeah.
If you're going to go and sit inside a restaurant for hours.
Yeah.
No, don't bother. It's fine.
We can't really eat with a face mask on.
No, but that isn't really the point, is it?
It must be part of the point.
I believe even drive-thrus require you to wear a mask now.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
No, it's ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
It's so confusing. I am so unsure. I even accidentally broke the rules on the first day.
Arsehole.
I know.
I mean, if we're locked down again, I'm blaming you.
No, on the first morning of it being mandatory in shops, I completely forgot and just wandered into Greg's for my morning sausage roll. And the woman behind the counter, she accosted me. She said, Posty. I said, well, I have a name, but if you want to call me by my job
title. Well, I mean, how does she know? She wouldn't know your name if she's trying to get your attention. What else? I mean, it's better than oi you, oi dickhead, oi, you maskless moron.
But she said, it's okay for today, but as of tomorrow, you're in it with a mask on. I said, all right.
Good. Did she shove a sausage roll in your face? That's what I would have done. What they should have is like really molten hot pastry masks in Greggs. And if you don't wear it, it's like a kind of branding. They brand you with mask.
You sort of run the gauntlet whenever you buy a pastry from that particular shop, because it's either stone cold or it's hotter than the surface of the sun.
Well, it's a bit like the old McDonald's apple pie, isn't it? Isn't that famously kind of like lava hot in the middle? Ridiculous. So have you got a nice Posty mask? Do they supply you with a mask?
No, I think that actually they do, to be fair, but I have my own masks. I do want to get a personalised one because it seems like they're going to be around for a while. But I'm not sure how reusable the masks are or how often they should be washed.
They should be washed very frequently.
I'm just so confused as to what the rules are. I think I'm not alone there. I think so many people are completely confused as to the rules at the moment, and I don't see it ending well.
Well, no, it's not going to end well. You can see we're already heading to another lockdown scenario. You can see it coming. We're heading towards it already.
I think the sort of localised lockdowns are a better idea than another complete national one. But I think that will cause fucking riots.
Well, I think we'll have one. I can't see it heading. I can't see it heading any other way. I mean, I think people people are going mental at the moment. You know, people are just sort of, I mean, I know it was a hot day, but again, hundreds of thousands of people turn up on beaches and stuff. I don't know. And it's either like we just go back to normal and say, fair enough, just whatever happens, happens. But this constant sort of overlying fact that we might go back into lockdown is frankly too stressful.
Well, we do have the legal get out of jail free card now. If you did want to break lockdown, you can, of course, as the government have taught us, claim to be testing your eyesight while driving.
That's it.
And you can go anywhere you like.
Well, at Barnard Castle is the place. So, Ben, our guest last week, Gareth.
Yeah.
Was talking to us all about comets and stuff. By the way, have you seen the comet? Did you get to see it?
I didn't, no. I'm really not very good. Like, if I was to go outside, and I don't own a compass, I'm imagining there's some sort of compass app I could get, but yeah. I wouldn't even know which way to look for north. So I think me trying to determine a comet in the night sky isn't going to happen.
But couldn't you have looked for the constellation, the Plough?
I don't know what that looks like.
Well, I mean, you could have looked it up.
I could have.
But you didn't.
I wouldn't even know where to begin looking. Like I say, I could look it up on Google, find out what that looks like.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't know which way to go outside and point myself to find it.
Do you know you can get apps now? It won't work on my phone because I don't think my phone's got a compass inbuilt. But you've got an iPhone. I bet that would have it. You can download an app, point it at the sky, and it will tell you what you're looking at. So you will know when it's the Plough.
Okay, I might have a go at that.
Very exciting.
I've missed the chance now, haven't I? It's gone.
Pretty much, yeah. I did get to see it. I did see it the other night. It was just a very small smudge in the sky by the time I found it. But I did see it, so I'm very happy about that.
Good.
But I was speaking to Gareth in the week, and he gave me some extra information about comets that I think you might be interested in.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, now this is from some scientific researchers who released some findings about not just comets, but also coronavirus.
Okay.
Okay, so this was released in April, okay? And it's from a guy called Professor Chandra Rikmansingh, okay?
Okay.
And his team of researchers. Now, they believe that the coronavirus arrived on meteorites in October 2019, and instantaneously infected hundreds of thousands of people through the atmosphere, as meteorites were reported in China, northern Italy, Michigan, all in October last year.
And this guy is a legitimate bona fide professor.
Yeah. Now, what you've got to remember is, of course, last week Gareth was talking about comets sort of possibly being the key to life. So there's no reason why maybe on a comet a virus could live. And maybe once it comes into the atmosphere, into the Earth, it will spread a virus.
I mean, my gut instinct is to say utter bollocks. But, I mean, if he's a proper scientist, he probably knows more about it than I do.
Well, yes. Yeah, the research also points out to the fact that the highest occurrences of COVID-19 between December last year and April 2020 were all in the same belt of latitude as the meteorites and the comets.
You know, it's strange. I was talking to someone who happened to listen to our last podcast, and they were saying to me, oh, is the science guy the same guy who does all the conspiracy stuff?
No.
And I said, no, that's a completely different person. I said, no, Gareth is a proper, you know, man of science. But it does seem as if Gareth is wandering into the tinfoil hat.
Well, no, this isn't his theory. He just told me that this bit of information was out there.
Did he tell you it like he gave it any credence at all?
No, he's not sure. He said, I can't say one way or another, really. He just gave me the information. I just thought it was fascinating. And who knows? Look, we don't know really. We still don't know where coronavirus really began. And if you look at some of this evidence, it's quite compelling.
I thought the consensus was bat soup.
Well, I think that was bullshit. I don't think we ever really got to the bottom of it. I mean, the conspiracy theorist friend of ours, I think he told me that he believed it was a virus that was being manufactured in a lab near Wuhan.
Yes.
And it was going to be a sort of chemical weapon. But it was, I think, mistakenly released or something, he believes.
What's worrying to me is when Mr. Conspiracy's theories sound far more plausible than scientific researchers saying it could have come from a comet.
Well, no, it's just it's one man. And again, the wonderful thing about scientists is they don't say this is absolutely definite. What they do is they look at evidence and present a hypothesis. And that's all this scientist has done. And he's just looking at it and saying, this is one possibility. And let's not discount it. That's what he's saying.
Very non-committal, those scientists, aren't they? I mean, have a bit of a backbone. Commit to something.
Well, he can't commit to it. He can't say, I mean, if he came out, if this, you know, if Mr. Rickman's, if Mrs., I want to say Rickman Winkle, that's not his name. Rickman Singh, if he came out and he went, oh, hello world, I'm a scientist. Oh, by the way, coronavirus came from outer space. People aren't going to listen to that, are they?
Well, but if some he says, people would.
Well, yes, but look, the saner people in this world wouldn't give him credence. Whereas if he says,
yes,
all I'm saying is there are some things that line up here in terms of date, latitude and timings and all of those things, just it's a possibility.
But the sane amongst us, they are the few. There have been people who have been vandalising 5G masks.
Oh, they're fucking morons. Because they believe
that was responsible for coronavirus.
I know.
Despite the fact they weren't even fucking switched on.
Yes, but they're a minority of people. They're not a majority.
But they're out there. If one scientist says it came from a comet, that'll be it. That's out there now. There'll be a certain percentage of people who believe that.
Yeah, well, it's. But I mean, it's fine if you want to believe it, but I don't think you always have to have that element of doubt. Do you know what I mean? Until you can evidentially say 100% that that is what happened, you always have to have that element of doubt.
Well, Donald Trump himself suggested that drinking bleach might be able to flush out the coronavirus from
your system. Yeah, but he's a fucking lunatic.
I know he's a lunatic, but that's my point. Within days of him saying that, there were people in American hospitals treating idiots who drank bleach.
Yes, so but
there are a fair share of idiots. So I'm worried when people come up with this claptrap.
No, because a scientist wouldn't say drink bleach. All a scientist is doing is saying there is some science. He's not asking you to do anything dangerous. He's not asking you to absolutely believe something. He's just putting out an idea.
I don't know. I think it'll lead to people firing rockets at the moon or something just to kill off the bastard aliens hurling coronavirus at us. Trev, are you a particularly vengeful man?
In my head, I am. Practically, I'm not. I won't carry out acts of vengeance, but I think about it all the time.
Because I do remember you telling me that you did once take out a bit of a revenge plot on someone. I believe taxis were involved. You may have told this story on the podcast before.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, that wasn't totally my idea. I just got caught up in group anger.
Collaborateur.
Yeah, and it wasn't actually my idea to carry out that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the guy was an arsehole and deserved it. But I don't generally, you know, I don't get into that game playing. I don't like that game playing. I mean, I'd like to be, because there's lots of people, like, you know, people who make a lot of noise, for example. I'd love to carry out acts of revenge. I'd like to go to their house. If you're an ice cream van driver, and I'd turn up at your house at 3 o'clock in the morning and play distorted fucking green sleeves.
So, but you're also a Star Wars fan, and I think you'll appreciate this element of it, because there is a revenge story out there that I've read this week.
Okay.
Of a guy who split up with his girlfriend, and I don't think it ended very well. It was in Australia, and what he decided to do was put up posters all over the place with her phone number. And on the poster, he had a picture of Chewbacca.
Right.
And what he said was, you can win $100, 100 Australian dollars, if you phone up this number and do your best Chewbacca impression.
How's he picking a winner?
That wasn't the point, because the number he was putting on was his ex-girlfriend's phone number.
Oh, I see, right.
So she was inundated with calls of people just making the Chewbacca noise at her.
Was she not a fan of Star Wars? Was that part of the reason, or was it just a vehicle for revenge?
I think it was just a vehicle for revenge. I think it got a little bit too far when she was getting calls in the middle of the night and it was waking up a kid. And that, she found that a little bit annoying.
Yeah. But
still quite good though, isn't it?
Wow. I mean, it's a good way. You do a good Chewbacca.
Well, you say that. I always thought I did until I was with you in a pub in London and one of your friends declared it absolutely rubbish.
I can't remember that. Did they really?
They did.
I can't do Chewbacca at all. I can do Yoda. Yoda, you always have to kind of get into the voice by making a noise. That needs to be the first bit of good. The noise. And then you go, phoning up in the middle of the night, are we? You have to sort of do that. But you do your Chewbacca for us.
Okay, do I need to back off the mic a little bit?
Well, a little bit, yeah.
Okay, bear with me.
All right.
I've not done it in a while.
See, I think that's all right. I think it's a Chewbacca noise.
I think it was. I think I can do better. I think that wasn't quite as guttural.
Yeah,
as
no, it did sound like you were gargling.
Yeah. What? Bear with me.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I've lost it. I think it used to be better.
Yeah, you've lost the kind of bareness of it.
Yeah, it's maybe years of smoking. I'll give you one more go.
Go on, yeah. It's getting worse.
It's getting worse. Maybe your friend had a point. Maybe on that night, I did it one too many times, and that was the night it went.
Wow, I can't remember that night.
Well, perhaps, very offended.
Perhaps I was hearing it through rose-tinted earmuffs, or whatever the equivalent of rose-tinted glasses are in the audio world.
But you see, I've just heard it back, even myself doing it. You've lost your touch.
Yeah, but maybe you never had it. Maybe we were both both deluding ourselves that it was something you were able to do.
I tell you what the difference is.
Yeah.
I usually break it out when I've had a few beers. I'm wondering if the beer maybe lubricates the vocal cords a little bit,
yeah.
And then it sounds a lot better. What I'll do is I'll get pissed later on, and I'll call you up and do it down the phone to you.
What you sound like to me is what fucking hell? What's going on now?
Sorry, I just
what is that
my
noise?
Knee. I just hit my knee off the desk. Sorry.
What would have been brilliant there is if you banged your knee and in a painful instantaneous reaction, you did a Chewbacca noise.
Oh no, it's gone.
It has gone, hasn't it? But no, what you sounded like is a friend of mine who used to be an actor. He used to be an actor, very actory, right? And he always used to say that, you know, before a performance, he would have to drink a few brandies, you know, because it lubricates the throat, darling.
You see, there is science behind it.
It's not, it's just they're all fucking alcoholics. So if you had to enact this sort of revenge on somebody, what would be the ideal thing that you'd want someone to do down a phone to somebody?
I don't know. It depends how sinister you want to be.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You could say, you know, not swap the Chewbacca noise out for a famous, very sinister line from a film.
Okay.
So that this person's getting multiple phone calls with a very threatening message. But I don't know if that's crossing a line.
Yeah, I think revenge needs to be annoying rather than threatening. Don't you think?
Does it, though? I mean, you're less likely to get arrested, I suppose.
Well, that's the thing. If you want to stay within, as much as possible within the bounds of the law, so that you're not being pursued by the police for making or for setting up nuisance phone calls. I mean, by publicising her phone number, have you broken some sort of law already?
You probably have, to be honest.
I mean, in this day and age of what they call it, what's that thing called, GDP or GDC, but whatever that thing is, where you're not allowed to give anything out.
Oh, the Data Protection Act.
Data protection, that's it, yeah. I mean, surely that would be breaking that already.
I think you're probably right. So, but is it something you do? I know you can be petty.
I would never do that.
No?
I'd never give out somebody's number. I'd never invite people to make phone calls. No. I think that'd be awful. I think for me, if the thing about revenge for me is it's the pettiness of a revenge that I enjoy. So like the only times that I will really do something is if I'm in the car, for example, and you get those bastards who just, they drive right up your arse. You know the ones? And I just I slow down.
Do you?
Yes. I think, fuck you. If you're going to drive like that and intimidate me, fuck you. You can wait. And if they start hooting, then I'll slow down even more. I mean, those are the sort of things that I will do. If you're going to drive like that, then you deserve to be held up. And the other thing, like, outside my house the other day, as you said, you know, as we've already discussed, my dislike of hooting, there was, it's the impatience as well that I think needs to be avenged at times. I'm quite an impatient man, but little delays I can deal with. Do you know what I mean? So the other day, a car, I saw it just stop out in the middle of the road outside my house, and all it was doing was somebody letting somebody out the back. You know,
yeah,
we've all done that, right? You stop in the middle of the road while someone gets out of the car.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a problem. The car came up behind. Not even, I wouldn't even say 5 seconds had gone before he was slamming on the horn and swearing out of his window at these people. And I just thought, you fucking dick. If I was in the car in front, I would have just turned the engine off. I was like, fuck you. If you're that, unless you've got to rush to the hospital or you've got some really incredibly important thing you've got to get to, you can wait 5-10 seconds.
Now, I'd like to run this by you because this is the other end of the extreme here. I was driving down the road the other day at work, and I'm A, conscious that I'm at work and I have to be a certain level of professionalism and I can't get sweary and angry with people.
Yeah.
But I pulled up behind a car that was completely blocking the road while they had a chat with the windows down to the mate coming in the opposite direction. So they're both completely clogging up the road.
No, I don't like that.
And I am not kidding. They knew I was there.
Yeah.
I didn't honk the horn. And they kept me waiting. I would, without exaggeration, 5 minutes.
Oh, no, that's out of order. That's out of order.
And normally, if I was in my own car, I'd have given them the horn.
Yeah.
But, and I'll be honest, they were quite big, burly blokes.
Right.
And I thought, A, I'm not a fighter. B, there's far more of you than me. And I just think I might get my head kicked in if I give them the horn here.
Yeah.
So I sat there like a coward, seething at my own stupidity and lack of balls. But I wondered what you would have done in that situation, because it's completely unacceptable to... They were absolute bastards. By the way, when they eventually fucked off...
Yeah, didn't no even apology. Have a good,
no apology. Of course not. No, nothing.
Selfish bastards. no, I would do exactly what you would have done, because I don't use the horn in anger, so I wouldn't have used the horn. But I would have sat there, I would have been seething. I would have been absolutely seething. And for the next few minutes when I was able to drive, you know when you do that angry driving...
Oh, yeah.
Where you you don't speed, but you feel... You just put your foot down a little bit harder on the accelerator. And you might speed a little bit, but you just sort of... You just... I don't know. You have to get it out of your system through the car.
I must admit, I drove back to the depot that day, and I was going off on my own, of course. All the things I didn't have the balls to say to them directly. Yeah. I was... All the things I'd like to have said to them, I was ranting and raving like a fucking wimp.
Yeah. But I've said this before, right? The way that you drive... says everything about who you are as a person to me. So that those people that do that, that is not a place for conversation, but it just shows to me that you are all very selfish people. You think that everything you do is far more important than everybody else.
Oh, I know. That drives me crazy.
And like I say, I don't mind if you just stop in front of me for a few seconds while someone gets out the back of the car. I can live with that. That's fine. But if you're stopping and chatting for 5 minutes, that's not acceptable.
It's not on.
That's not on. So again, when I'm in charge, Ben, all this will be outlawed. Suddenly I'm becoming more appealing when it comes to the election, aren't I?
You've got my vote.
When you were a kid, did you ever plan anything with your mates for when you were older, things you were going to do when you were older, or maybe just planned on your own?
How in the future do you mean? How far?
Well, let's say you were 10 and you were planning for something when you were 18.
Oh, no, I didn't do that. I mean, I did plan things with friends that never really came to fruition, but never for that far in advance.
Right, okay. And what about just for things that you might do in the next year, for example, when you're 10? Again, things you're going to do in the next year.
Not really, no.
No?
What do you mean?
Well, I was going through some old stuff this week, and I came across a notebook.
Okay.
There's very little in this notebook. Very little in it at all. There's a page... I'll share with you exactly what's in this book, because there's only about four pages that have anything on it. One page is just a page where I've practiced my autograph.
Oh, I used to do that.
Yeah.
How fucking tragic.
And I've drawn lots of cubes, and I've done some maths for some reason.
Okay.
There's also a page when... I've written out a little contract for my brother when he owed me some money. So I won't give his name out, but it says, my brother has to pay me £2 by the 19th of September 1989. If he fails this, he will pay a 5p fine to make it £2.05.
I mean, it's not much of a deterrent, that interest rate, is it?
And if I don't get the £2.05 by Christmas 89, there will be a 10p fine to make it £2.15, etc. I got him to sign it, which he did. He also wrote, fuck off.
Did he?
At the bottom of it, yeah. So that I'm assuming I got the money.
So you can't remember if it was enforced or not?
I don't know. I mean, he signed the contract. I'm assuming I enforced it and he paid it. But I couldn't tell you. I'm seeing him later. I might ask him if he remembers. I might try and get the money off of him.
Yeah, I would. It's been about 30-odd years now. So I think by now he probably owes you at least £4.
Yeah. And the other things in this book are... So me and my mate Danny, when we were... kids, right? He lived over the road from me. We were in the same class at primary school and we were best mates then, right? And we'd done camping with the cubs, right? And I always went camping as a kid with my parents, and I think he went camping occasionally with his mum. And a couple of things here. We planned a camp in his garden, which we did do.
Okay.
And I made a little list of everything we'd need. Tent, sleeping bags, water, bread. A watch.
The bread.
Bread for breakfast. We were obviously going to make some sandwiches.
It's a very poor man's camping trip.
A watch, a torch, washing kit, washing bowl, knives, forks and spoons, butter.
Oh, finally, something to go on the bread.
Pyjamas, coats and wellies.
Okay.
Those were the bits of equipment we needed. There was a plan. Number one, have tea early. Number two...
Sorry, can I just clarify, is that the drink or the meal?
I think that was kind of the meal. So we were obviously going to have that in our respective homes. We were going to camp in his garden.
Yeah,
so we're going
to have your bread and butter. Yeah, good.
Tea early. Go over to Danny's at 5 o'clock. Pitch the tent.
Right.
We were both in the church choir. So number four on the list. After choir, come home, say bye. I'm assuming that means to my parents, and then get in tent.
Okay. Any sort of entertainment planned or,
no,
or just sit in the tent?
No, because
guarding the bread.
Number four, that's that's number four, just get in the tent.
Okay.
Number five, I've not actually written anything for number five, apart from I've drawn some lines. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Number six is come home either Saturday evening or seven Sunday morning. I suppose we hadn't decided whether we were going to do two nights or not.
Fair enough.
We only did one night.
It depends how much bread you've got.
Well, we only did one night from memory because I got a feeling it was cut short because as we were cleaning the tent out, probably of breadcrumbs.
for Hansel and Gretel existence.
There was some sort of... like a little bit of metal, a little shred of metal that got into my hand. Ooh. And I remember, I thought it was like a fishing hook. And I remember going into, like, I was almost going to pass out. And I got very upset. And I think Daddy's mum had to go and get my dad, who just came over and pulled the bit of metal out of my hand. There was no real damage. But I think it, you know, that was it for me. It was all over.
How did that manage to get in there? That, if I remember correctly, there was no mention of fishing hooks on the official itinerary that you planned so carefully. How did that get in there?
Well, it must have been a little bit of debris already in the tent from some previous camping trip. So I blame the adults for that.
You hadn't planned well enough.
Because I didn't put a first aid kit on the list.
And you hadn't put down, like, you know, cleaning out the tent, checking for sharp objects.
No.
It's your own damn fault.
But anyway, it didn't deter us. We then decided that when we were 18, we were going to do a camping trip for 4 days to Wales. We started making our plan then as to what we were going to have to do.
Okay.
So number one.
Oh, another list. Good.
Yeah, well, this is quite a long list. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, save up money for tent.
What question?
Yeah.
What was wrong with the tent you already had?
Wasn't ours. You know, we were thinking when we were 18, we'd need our own tent.
Right. Okay. Fine. Okay. So I'm assuming on this list as well somewhere you've put in damage control, first aid kit, well, you know, anti fish hook.
Well, let's see what else is on the list. The interesting thing is number one, I did put save up money for tent, etc. So I'm imagining within the etc. was all the accessories we might need.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Number two, catch train to Wales. That was number two on the list.
Right.
Okay. I've made an approximation of the price here that changes because I crossed the first price out. It started up, number three, approximately £30 return. I think we then decided it would probably be a lot more, so I've put 100.
Yeah, so you weren't actually looking up the prices, you were just guessing.
Days before the internet, this, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Had to be done. I think £100 was probably a bit excessive, but, you know, bear in mind we were planning to save money for about 8 years, but we were, you know, and I'll tell you how much we were going to save, but we'll get you that to the list. That's on the list later.
Okay.
Okay. Number four, this is when we get to the station in Wales, phone for a cab. Number five, arrive at campsite and pitch tent or tents.
Ooh.
I know. We've
tents plural.
We've possibly got one each rather than a two man.
Right.
We obviously hadn't decided that at the time.
Well, okay. I mean, you've had 8 years to fund this trip. I should expect the best.
Well, yes. This is more of what we're going to do when we're away. Number six on the list, walk to sites. Okay.
I mean, this is very in-depth. I mean, but did you put breathe on the list as well?
Well, number seven on the list, we don't have to walk. Get cab if we want to go a long way.
Okay.
So I'm planning for, you know, not just local to the campsite areas. We're thinking of going further afield. And I've got to save enough money to be able to have the ability to get a cab if I want.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Number eight. Make sure we have enough clothes.
I mean, so basic. So basic.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't even need to be written down. It's just something anyone would do. Take enough clothes.
Number nine, water carrier. Got to have a water carrier.
Okay.
Okay. Number 10. Now, this might have gone on the list as a result of the previous camping trip. First aid kit.
There we go.
There it is. Number 11, obviously worrying about how our parents might be worrying about us. Because number 11 on the list, phone home every day.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
Yeah, going to phone home every day.
I mean, it's a bit pathetic at 18 years old, but it's quite sweet when you're 10 writing down the list.
Right. Number 12, rucksacks. Must have wrote some rucksacks.
Okay.
Number 13, postcards to be sent.
This list you've written,
yeah,
it varies from a sort of things we'll need to the next step in what we're going to do. It's half an itinerary and it's half a sort of,
yeah,
shopping list.
Well, it's a plan. It was a plan
kind of
for our first holiday, you know. So number 14, buy presents and souvenirs.
You see, this is what I mean. This is like, if I'm planning a trip to Disneyland,
yeah,
or Disney World, and I said, okay, day one,
yeah,
Epcot, day two, Magic Kingdom, day three, rucksacks. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a complete Frankenstein of a list, this.
Well, yeah, but when you're 11 and you're planning these things, then this all made sense to us at the time. Only a couple more to go here. Number 15 on the list, I like this. Make sure we have loads of money.
Okay.
Yeah. And we do that by number 16 on the list.
Oh, I was going to ask, so I'm intrigued. Yeah. How do you do it?
Put 50p aside every week. Or, I do seem to like using the et cetera thing here, because I've not expanded on that idea of the amount. I've just put 50p aside every week, or et cetera, which grammatically doesn't work.
I just want to do the maths on this, mm-hmm, if that's all right.
Well, I've helpfully already done it. At the bottom,
oh,
of the, at the bottom of the page, I'd obviously done the maths.
So it's 50p times 52 weeks a year times 10.
Yeah.
What does it work out as?
Well, I've made it, I mean, my maths isn't very good, by the way, but I've made it 2,600.
You know what? That's probably quite excessive, but that'll definitely cover your trip.
I mean, it'd be an amazing trip to Wales, that. Number 17, final thing on the list, by the way. Trevor will take his fishing gear.
Fucking fish hooks are back, aren't they?
Are you a fan of safari parks?
Not really, no.
What, I mean, ethically against them? Or just experientially?
No, I mean, I do quite enjoy the sight of the animals when you go, but you kind of think, it's a bit cruel. And even though some people might say, oh, it's for preservation of the species, you kind of think, even so, something not quite right about this. So, yeah. No, I'm not entirely happy with them. You?
I'm a bit like you, really. I kind of... no, I don't think so. I don't think they're a thing to really have here. But, you know, they are well looked after, the animals, in most of these places. But what is worrying me is a story coming out of Knowsley. I'm assuming it's Knowsley Safari Park, which is an area of Merseyside where staff at this zoo have seen baboons armed with knives, screwdrivers and a chainsaw.
What's going on?
Well, staff at the zoo believe that some visitors are trying to help increase the damage caused to vehicles by supplying the animals with weapons.
I'm so confused.
Well, you know, if you drive your car through a safari park, the chances are the baboons are going to come and take your windscreen wipers off, your number plate. They'll do the damage to the car.
Yeah.
Well, given weapons, they can do even more damage to the car. I think that's what the staff believe is the idea behind this.
Don't the staff want people visiting their park?
Well, no, the staff aren't giving them the weapons.
You've completely lost me on this one. Who is arming the monkeys?
Some visitors.
Why?
So...
Oh, like animal rights activists?
Possibly, they don't know. But so, it's not that hard to follow.
It really is. If you're an animal rights activist, why the hell would you want to jeopardise other monkeys because you've let one loose with a chainsaw?
Well, the thing is, they want them to do more damage to more visitors, so I suppose less would go. So that I guess that's the thinking behind it. I don't know. But all I'm thinking is, A, how is a baboon going to use a chainsaw? I mean, unless you've actually shown... Baboons are very clever animals. What if you've shown a baboon how to use it? But are they giving classes when they're handing over these weapons?
What do you mean, like, are they teaching them to refill the petrol and make sure they don't overdo it on the choke?
Yeah, exactly. Or just even how to start it. A baboon's not going to know you've got to pull the cord to start a chainsaw, are they? That's not going to be instinctively within them, their thinking, is it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're great copiers. They do learn.
Well, no, that's what I mean. If they show it, but you've got to show them.
Yeah.
You've got to demonstrate this thing. Then, yes, they would be amazing. It's like orangutans. They're incredible at copying. There's an amazing video I saw once of an orangutan sweeping up because they'd seen someone using the broom and it was sweeping up. It was incredible. So, yeah, it's a dangerous thing. But I wouldn't want to go anywhere near a baboon armed with any weapon.
Of course not, no. So I'll be staying well clear of... Was it Knowsley, you said?
Knowsley Safari Park, yeah.
Yeah, I won't be going anywhere near there. I'll tell you what, though. My friend, he saw a story in the news and he sent it straight to me. And it's, again, it's the monkeys.
Right, okay.
They're running riot.
What are they doing?
Here's the headline. Thousands of sex-mad monkeys overrun city and eat themselves to death as cops, they admit, they are powerless to control them.
Wow. So many questions. How do we know they're sex mad?
Well, the evidence is there.
Oh, well, they're just at it.
Yeah, police in Thailand have admitted they are powerless to control the sex-crazed monkeys that have overrun an entire city. The scale of the problem has got so big that the police have essentially given up. They're gorging themselves to death on junk food. And one of the officers trying to deal with the problem described it as hopeless.
Well, it's not really a problem in the end. If they're gorging themselves to death, they're all going to die out. Just let it happen.
He said the officer has been using a slingshot to scare away the large group of macaques, but they return in a matter of minutes. And he said they get rid of some of them, but then they come back with more babies, and it's just a problem that's got all out of control.
But I mean, I think what's wrong with this? You know, I mean, human beings have probably encroached on their land in the first place, and they're just reclaiming it. They want it back.
Well, I don't think you quite realise the size of the problem. They've taken over a city. Their numbers are estimated to be in the region of 6,000 strong. And the people have had to flee their homes or not leave their homes because the moment they do, they're being rushed by angry macaques.
Well, maybe this is what's going to happen, you know, if Knowsley's near Merseyside. Perhaps the baboons are just going to take over Liverpool. All these armed primates on the streets of Liverpool.
And do you remember a few weeks ago we talked about another monkey story where they'd broken into a scientific laboratory and mugged a science laboratory guy for all of his coronavirus testing?
Oh, that's right, yes.
And they were spotted up in the trees with coronavirus tests.
Yo.
I think the monkeys, they're onto something. Yeah. They're up to no good.
But what also I worried about is at what point could this end? It got me thinking, basically, what animal with what weapon wouldn't you want to see coming at you?
I think a monkey with a chainsaw would be up there.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, wouldn't it? I was thinking like a hippo with an Uzi. That would be quite terrifying. But, I mean, imagine if like little creatures started to develop the ability to use weaponry. I mean, imagine like a wasp. Imagine if a wasp got hold of a gun.
I mean, there's a few logistical problems there.
No, but you've got to think outside the box here. What I'm saying is imagine they've been... someone's armed them with guns the size that they're able to handle.
Yeah. I'm not going to make myself sound like a big tough guy, because I'm honestly not. But I'm quite confident
yeah.
if you designed a gun to the scale that a wasp could use it,
yeah.
I'd be quite happy to be shot by that. I don't think it would do much damage.
Well, yeah, we don't. No, again, you've got to think that the gun is as dangerous as a normal-sized gun.
Well, then you're asking me to bend the laws of physics.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we don't know what spies use, you know. All right, well, let's say that that a wasp is able to have a, instead of a little sting, it's got a syringe full of arsenic.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's managed to weaponize itself in a more deadly manner.
But that isn't really... That would be just part of what the wasp does. You were talking about animals with weapons.
Yeah. Okay, well, what other
this
animals?
This might be one of the most insane conversations we've ever had.
A spider with a Tommy gun. I mean, they're fast enough, aren't they, a spider? The moment you go towards it, it would just open fire on you.
Well, I imagine a spider could probably have a Tommy gun
on
either side of him. Yeah.
On each appendage.
Yeah.
Have 8 Tommy guns. Just going
you're being a bit ridiculous now. I was thinking it would stand up on 2 of its back legs.
All right, and have 6 of them.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, 6 of them. That would be a terrifying thing. I did look up the world's sort of deadliest animals, and it's all the ones you would think of. Obviously, the most deadly animal is a mosquito. It doesn't necessarily need arming in any other way. Well, because of the malaria, isn't it?
Well, you see, I don't think that counts.
Okay. So when
because that's deadly because it's carrying something that it wouldn't normally have. But the deadliest animal, that you're talking like the box jellyfish or something like that. But I don't think that just because that's like saying that rats are the deadliest animal because they once carried the plague. There's nothing inherently dangerous about the rat itself.
No, okay, fair enough. But if you were to, like, there is a fish that's got a, it's got like a switchblade in its face. It's already evolved to have its own weapon. You know, the swordfish, it's already got a weapon.
That is true.
So, you know, if we're talking about arming yourself with a weapon, I mean, a sting is a weapon. But what I'm talking about is if you were actually to have animals armed with weapons that humans would use.
Yeah, I think it's got to still be the chimps with the opposable thumbs and they're malicious bastards as well, chimps.
Yeah, they are quite dangerous, aren't they, a chimp?
They'll rip your face off.
I mean, if you give a chimp a chainsaw, it's not going to let that go easily either, is it?
No, and even if it couldn't work out how to turn it on, I'm pretty sure a chimp could give you a damn good beating with it.
Just one last thing before we finish up this week, Ben. I want to run something by you it might have been just because it's been hot this week that I've been extra tetchy, but something got me extremely angry in the week, and I don't know whether I overreacted.
Okay, well, run it by me.
So, The Chase, the quiz show on the telly.
Yep, you've overreacted.
well, hang on. Let me explain what happened, right?
Okay, go on.
There was a contestant on called Paul. Let me just, we'll introduce Paul. Let's get to know Paul a little bit.
Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you, Brad.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a retired geologist. I was a mineral resource geologist for 42 years. Worked originally in South Africa, came back to the UK, and I've been a consultant mineral resource geologist until I retired 2 years ago.
So there's Paul, he's a geologist.
Yeah, he mentioned that a few times, didn't he? I'll be honest, nothing to annoy me there so far.
No, just getting, obviously a very intelligent man with that job.
You'd have thought so, yeah.
Okay, he went on to get £8,000 on his cash builder. He got back through to the final.
That's a pretty good cash builder. That's great.
Did very well, didn't he? Then came the final, and he was up against Sean Wallace with one other contestant. I can't remember how much was in the kitty. And then it came to their setting their target for the chaser.
Okay.
Rules are pretty simple on the chase when it comes to that, because you're not playing on your own. You're playing as part of the team. There's only two of them, but you must hit the buzzer.
Right.
And then your name comes up and you answer the question. Okay. Even if you want to pass, because you're against the clock, push the buzzer. I'm imagining they're told this quite often.
Yeah, and you'd imagine that anyone who's appearing on the chase has probably watched their fair share of it.
Yeah, and you've got 2 minutes to build as many steps in the chase as possible. And to win, you need probably 20 you're looking at for a chance. So you can't.
I think I can see where this is going.
You can't be pissing about wasting time, okay? Let's see how Paul got on.
Who played Anna Scott in the film Notting Hill?
Pass.
Come on, Paul, come on.
Press the buzzer.
Ooh. Pass.
It's Julia Roberts.
I mean, how much time has he wasted there, though?
Yeah, okay. He wasted a few seconds, but he's only human.
Oh, he was doing...
Nothing to get too upset about.
Doing my head in. Now, Bradley Walsh had told him push the buzzer there, didn't he?
He did.
It's very clear. Let's see what happened next.
The Sea of Marmara lies in what country?
Turkey.
Press the buzzer. Oh.
Turkey.
Correct.
Push the fucking buzzer, Paul.
Okay, so strike two.
So at this point, I'm fuming at Paul. I'm thinking you fucked this up completely.
I am beginning to lose patience within myself because
it's fucking annoying.
I mean, can I just ask, was that mistake directly after the first one?
Straight away. It was the next question. I know. So, I guess he's nervous. Fine. Okay. Then this happens.
What type of accessory is an Omega Speedmaster? Mike, stop the clock. That is wrong.
So the chaser's got a question wrong.
Okay, good.
Now, anyone who doesn't know the rules, the chaser has got the question wrong, which means Paul and his teammate can now have a chance to answer that question and push the chaser back one step.
Got it.
So Paul and his teammate, they have a little confab.
I'm thinking.
Tend to think of watches.
Cheers.
With Omega.
And a Speedmaster, yep.
Should we go for it?
Yep.
What's the answer?
They've settled on watch, haven't they?
Watches. Watches is the answer. Paul is designated the spokesperson for the team at this point. They normally have one person who gives the answers to Bradley Walsh. Him and his teammate, they've gone on, what was it, watches?
Watches.
Give your answer, Paul.
Omega, Bradley.
You fucking moron.
Oh, Paul, Paul, Paul.
Get in here.
What are you doing to us, man?
Omega. I mean, come on. By this point, I threw the fucking remote across the room. I was so angry. His teammate, I mean, she was all right.
No, sorry, what?
Sorry.
I have to accept your first answer, which is Omega directed at me, is wrong. The correct answer is watch.
Oh.
Yeah, it's watch, Paul.
Oh, Paul.
Fuck me. I don't think a game show contestant has ever made me that angry before. And like I say, it was hot. I was tetchy. But my God, it's like rule one, page one, broken every fucking time, Paul. So there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Just before we go, just one recommendation from me this week. It's a show that's been on BBC One. It's called The Secrets She Keeps. I haven't quite finished it yet, but it's very good. And it's taken me through already a gamut of emotions. Again, I've been shouting at the telly at one of the people in it. She's made me furious. But then it's one of those things that's cleverly written, so I'm actually feeling a little bit sorry for her at times as well. So it's very good. It's on the iPlayer. Well worth a watch.
And what's the gist of the show?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but it's basically about... It starts off with the relationship between a pregnant woman and another pregnant woman, or a couple of other pregnant women. And I'm not sure, I don't want to give too much away, you see.
But is it a work of fiction, or is it based on true events?
It's a work of fiction, as far as I'm aware, yes.
Okay.
But it's very good. First episode, I started watching it, and I've got to admit, I thought, I'm not sure this is going to be for me, but it hooked me very quickly.
Okay, that sounds good. Amazing. I think people don't need to know too much more about it. I think they trust you by now. They can just take your word for it and watch it.
The reason I haven't got anything really new apart from that to recommend is I have just been totally engrossed for the second time in Breaking Bad. It's even better second time round. It's a few years since I first watched it. I'd forgotten loads of it. It really is the best thing I've ever seen.
I heard someone the other day saying, I think it might have been on a different podcast, and I won't call them out for it, but they said basically, how bad has Breaking Bad aged? It's terrible. You're looking at it back. What are you talking about?
Who is this?
I won't name names, but some fool.
Yeah, someone without any kind of idea of what makes great. It's not really aged at all, I didn't think.
I like to dip in and out of it now and again. It's so good.
Well, as I say, I think second time round, I got the humour more this time than I remember last time. There's so much funny events and lines in it.
It's brilliant.
So yeah, that's why I've got, apart from The Secret She Keeps, I've just been watching that again. So if you've never seen Breaking Bad, then what's wrong with you? Watch it.
Yeah, where have you been?
Talking of things that you should have watched, you were telling me you've made a bit of progress on getting your parents to watch The Tiger King.
I have. Basically, I know you recommended it yourself a while ago.
Yeah.
Marvelous is this show that you wanted me to watch, and my dad is very keen for me to watch it, and I've been sort of using that as a bit of a trump card,
right?
And I've sort of bartered with him. Okay, I'll watch Marvelous. I'm quite keen to watch it anyway, but I thought I can twist this to my advantage. I'll only watch it, Dad, if you give episode one of Tiger King a go.
Right.
They have finally, both of my parents, conceded to give episode one a go.
And then you're going to watch Marvelous?
Yes, that's the deal. And I'm confident that they're only committing to episode one to begin with, and they're only going to carry on with it if they're hooked. But I'm confident they will be.
Well, the thing, how long is an episode of Tiger King? About 45 minutes?
Something like that, yeah.
Marvelous is about 90 minutes. You should only watch the first half of it. No, you've got to watch the whole thing. It is superb. They won't be able to not go on.
I know.
Once they've watched the first one. So, by next week, will we have news on this? Can we push the timeline? Can we set a deadline?
I will keep in touch with them. They did say they'd try and watch it over this weekend. I will keep the pressure on them, and I will let you know.
Okay.
I think the main concern is that they can't shake the idea that it might involve, animal cruelty, which in a way it does as a theme, but I have assured them you don't see anything gruesome.
No, and the people are the story, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
The people are the story. Well, I look forward to hearing an update on that next week. That's very exciting. So there we are, that's it. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. If you want to get in touch with us about absolutely anything, we're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, and take it easy.
Bye.